at least if you were here this morning, you're tired, and especially if you've been involved in working. And I'm sure Brother Z is tired, but he'll go home. His wife said he won't get to sleep till late. She'll get home and she'll be right out, right? You know how it works. But tonight, I'm thinking of a scripture that I have little plants I put in a garden called sermon preparation plants. And I'll go in there and check them out. You know, how's this plant growing? Add a little to it and that. And this is a scripture that meant a lot to me in college. Somehow I was introduced to it in college. It might have been through a Reformed Baptist preacher. I'm not sure, but I was introduced to this scripture in college, and it's in the book of Isaiah. So please take your Bible tonight and turn to Isaiah chapter 50. Isaiah and chapter number 50. And in Isaiah, we have a wonderful prophecy here about our Lord Jesus Christ, about 700 years or thereabouts before he actually showed up on planet Earth and was born. Isn't that amazing? And it talks about his suffering, his death on behalf of all of his people throughout all time, throughout all the world. And it talks about that in Isaiah chapter 50. And I want you to see that there was specific language about his suffering in Isaiah 50. And I'd like to preach tonight just a brief, hopefully brief, amen, expository message on Isaiah 50, verses 7 through 12. But before we do that, let's look at verse 5 through 7. Just 5 through 7. And I want you to see how this was 700 years before Christ. And I'll read it. You follow in your copy. It says, "The Lord God hath opened mine ear." That's the Lord Jesus speaking. "And I was not rebellious." Oh, I'm glad for that. "Neither turned away back." He says, "I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair." You know, they pulled the Lord's beard right out by the roots. "I hid not my face from shame and spitting." They spit right in his face. The dirtiest part of the body, the spit, saliva. Spit right in his face. He said he didn't hide his face from that. Why? Because of his love for the Father and his love for us. He says, "For the Lord God will help me, therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed." Boy, these are words that were fulfilled in the New Testament, where, remember, he set his face like a flint to go to Jerusalem. And so not only did the Lord die for all of you who come to believe upon him as your personal Savior, but he also died, we also died with him to our old life, and we rose to a new and eternal life, and we rose to receive his perfect righteousness that clothes us, as we talked about this morning. And so when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you can say this. This is your testimony. "He is near that justifieth me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is mine adversary? Let him come near to me." Now listen to me. If you have been unwilling to trust anything or anyone else other than Jesus Christ to get you to heaven, that means that you can confidently say all of my sins were put to the account of Jesus Christ. And he suffered and bled and died as though he had committed every sin that I have done or thought about or said. He went through that. And he said it's finished, and that means there's nothing more that needs to be done. You don't need to fear hell. You don't need to fear the wrath of God. You say, why not? There is now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. And then the perfect obedience of Jesus, where he lived a life under the law, perfect obedience. The moment you believe, that was put to your account. So God looks at you as though you were perfect, as though you were 100% obedient as Jesus Christ. And God, listen, God declares you are innocent. You are righteous in his sight. He does that as a judge sitting on the bench, and he puts the gavel down and says, "Righteous in my sight." Say, what did I do to deserve that? Nothing. It's a gift of God. It's all by His grace, by the way. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. That's what the Bible said. And why did He do that? He chose to do that. He didn't have to do it for you. He chose to do it for you. And then He gave you the faith because you're justified through faith. Not by faith, but by His grace. Don't ever forget that. And so tonight we're looking at this scripture in Isaiah. And I want to look at verse 8 and read it to you. Here's what it says to you. Now tonight, if you can say, I'm a justified one because of the word of God. He says this about you tonight. It says, He is near that justifieth me. Who will contend with me? I'm saying that God promises that all of you that have been justified have Him always standing near and ready to give you His help in any and every circumstance of your life. Do you realize that? You know, He's always watching over you. My wife always said about me, she said, there's always somebody helping that boy. There's always somebody helping that boy. And I can say that is true. I've been through some troubles in my life, some trials in my life. But He's always helping that boy. And I see that and see testimonies to that in my life. And I want you to realize that's true of you as well. And tonight, I want to preach from Isaiah 50. Verses 7 through 11, God's promise to you of His help. God's promise to you of His help. And I want to say tonight, maybe you're sensing your weakness this evening. Maybe you're not. Maybe you're feeling strong. Maybe you're feeling great. You will feel your weakness. You go through cancer twice, you'll feel it. You'll feel your weakness some way, somehow. You go through some aging and you'll feel it. Talking to Brother Steve the other day, I like to feel good. I'm usually feeling good, but I hurt my knee, and then I hurt my belly doing belly exercises. My wife said, just slow down a little bit. I said, okay. So I laid off the exercises for a few days, and now the belly's feeling good. The knee's starting to come back. Sometime you got to back off. You got to back off. I like to really exercise and drive it, but sometimes you got to back off. Sometimes less is more, and you got to do that. So I'm talking about your mortality. I'm talking about your weakness that you may be feeling. And I'm just saying that happens. And you live in a mortal body. People ask me, how you doing? I say, I'm doing gloriously, but in a mortal body. Amen? And we live in a mortal body. And if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ this evening, I want you to look at Isaiah 50. Let's go to verse 8 through 11 and do an exposition of that, or an expedition through that. But if you have not yet run to the Lord Jesus for Him to save you from judgment that's sure to come, I hope you'll see your need to do that today, because of God's promise to help anybody that has come to Christ for salvation. You say, I've come to Christ. Well, then He says, he that cometh to me, I will what? In no wise cast out. I will in no wise cast out. You say, how do I come? With empty hands. How do I come just as I am? How do I come a sinner that deserves to go to hell? And I come to Jesus. He said, he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. So you say, I feel like I'm cast out. No, you're not. No, you're not. He's not a liar. Now, I'd like to say three things about God helping you as a justified one. And number one, His declaration of helping you. In verse 7 of Isaiah 50, the Lord Jesus declared it Himself. He said, for the Lord God will help me. Now you say, well, that's Jesus. The Lord God will help him. One of the men tell me, why, if you are one of those that are the justified ones, can you say, the Lord God will help me, if Jesus said that He'll help me? All right, I'll go with Matthew over here. Go ahead, Matt.
Because if our Lord Jesus Christ said it, sir, He cannot lie.
Yeah, but He said He'll help me. So why is it that He'll help you? He said He'll help me, and He doesn't lie. he'll be helped, but why will he help you, the justified?
Because we've accepted Christ, we're justified because of Christ. And so because we're justified through Christ, God will help us.
That's exactly right, because everybody that's justified is united to Christ. Romans chapter 5, verse 10. You are in Christ. You died with him. You're buried with him. You're risen. You say, I don't feel it. You're in him. You're part of his body. He feels everything that you feel. He knows everything you're going through. He knows your weakness in your mortal body. He knows if you're aging. We got some aging people here tonight, present company not excluded. We got some aging people tonight. But he knows everything that you're feeling, and he says that he is near that justifieth me. That's the Lord talking about himself and the help that he got, but you're in him. And so you are accepted in the what? Beloved. The same love wherewith God the Father hath loved me is in you, Jesus said. And I prayed for that to be so. So tonight, I know you may be tired. Tonight you may be working to do God's work. But listen, just let God declare to you that he's helping you. And he will help you. And so the Lord says this in verse 7. He says, for the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Sometimes I feel confounded. How many have ever felt confounded? How many have ever felt confused? But you know what? You're not going to be ultimately confounded. It may be for a time, but he'll clear it up. And eventually everything will be clear. And there'll be a day when it'll all be clear. Even if you go through this life confounded, it'll all be clear one day. It'll all be clear. And so that's a promise. For the Lord God will help me, therefore I shall not be confounded. And since the Spirit of the Lord helped our Savior time and time again, he will help you because you're in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that is God's declaration. Here's another declaration about that. He says in verse 8, he is near that justifieth me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is mine adversary? I was just talking to Becky tonight. I was just talking to somebody the other day. And it's all the same. It's the devil that is attacking our thoughts. Attacking through other people when we want to go forward and do what God wants. You decide to get serious with God and you want to walk with God, you can mark it down, Luke, the devil's going to be on you. And you're going to have to resist the devil and not listen to those people. Or, you know, the devil is using those people. You need to say, get thee behind me, Satan, because that's what's happening there. And so, you know, it says, who is he that is going to contend with me? And, of course, the devil is going to contend with you. How about the world? The world will not go along with you if you're serving God. And your own flesh. I had a guy today who was going to baptize the kid. He wanted to get baptized. We had him in the water. And he's saying, oh, I don't know if I'm going to go under. And every time I was ready to bat, he's in the water. He said, can I change my mind? Then he finally said, he said, I got a part of me that says, get baptized. He said, I got another part of me that says, don't get baptized. Well, which part do you listen to, right? What's the part that says, don't do it? Your flesh. By the way, we all have an evil heart of unbelief, a heart of the flesh. And Lloyd Jones said, how do you deal with that? You treat that evil heart of flesh of unbelief like a serpent trying to bite you, and you keep your foot of faith right on the head of that serpent, and you keep trusting God no matter what you're going through. And what I'm saying tonight, trust his declarations of help, that God Almighty in his word says that he will help you, and that nobody, the world, the flesh, and the devil is going to be able to defeat you. I have had worldly people condemn me. Amen? Boy, I had a good day of visiting yesterday. I was out. Everything was going good. I got up to Lemco Kimberly Circle, right about where Awilda lives. And just before I got there, you know, I handed a flyer, and mother came out. Boy, she landed on me. And I just thought about, you're just blind. You're just blind. You don't see it. It's too bad. You're blind. Who is he that condemns me? You know, God is for me. Who can be against me? Who can condemn me? Listen, you'll have worldly people that will talk against you and go against you. But the Bible says this, he is near that justifieth me. Who will contend with me? I've had times in my life when people condemn me. Yeah, they said he's out, he's down. Remember those times, Sarge? At least three times they said Bloom is done, he's down, he's out. This time he's done. Every time, get back up again. Why? Because who's he that's going to condemn me? It's God that's on my side. And better yet, I'm on his side. Amen. And that's promised to you when your enemies condemn you for your faith, for your belief, for your commitments. Even when you fail and sin, and sometimes it's your fault, and people will condemn you. Amen. And amen. People that are close to you will condemn you. They'll tell you you got this fault or that fault or the other fault. But you know what? God says, I see him as perfect in Jesus Christ. Amen. He will not reject you. You stand complete in Jesus Christ. And he'll help you. If you just look to the Lord, he'll help you. And that's promised to you, as the hymn writer said. Here's what he said. I will strengthen thee, help thee, and cause thee to stand. Upheld by my, here's the way it was originally written, my righteous omnipotent hand, because we have the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And so God stands near to help us. And you can know that, beloved. You can know you have that. And God will never cast you off, though you get cancer, though you have heart disease, though you have lung problems, though you have aches and pains. He will never cast you off. Though you have poverty, he won't cast you off. Though you go through old age, he won't cast you off. And that's God's declaration. He is saying it here for all of us to hear it. The Apostle Paul draws from these words in Isaiah and in other scriptures of prophecy. These divinely promised declarations of help from our Savior. Paul wrote these words. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Man, you say, I need this or I need that. Listen, God will give it to you because he gave his son. Matt talked about praying for rain not to come. Well, God gives things like that because he was willing to give his son for us. And he knows when we're asking him for good things. And he loves to give good gifts. And so he promises you his help. And for you to have the assurance of God's help, you've got to learn to reason things out by faith. Did you hear me? Let me say that again. Faith is not against your ability to reason. Faith requires, in fact, that you understand biblical reasoning. That lays out for you. That's why I love the book of Romans. The book of Romans is something that lawyers used to use to reason out a case and an argument. They had it in Harvard and Yale, the great Ivy League schools back in the day when they were good schools, you know. They had that, and the law professors would use Romans to teach how to reason out a case. Now listen to me. That's how I overcome the devil. That's how I stand strong. I reason from a position of faith concerning my salvation. And you've got to beat the devil that way. If you do not resist the devil, listen to me, standing firm in your faith with reasoned arguments, devil will get to you. Devil will get to you. And you'll be panicking. You must say, I have come to Christ and trusted him alone to be my sin bearer and savior. And Jesus said, he that cometh to me, you must reason this, I will in no wise cast out. Therefore, I've come to Christ. Therefore, I am not cast out. You've got to be able to do that. You must then reason that I must be one of those for whom God gave Christ to die. And because of his death for me, I shall never be cast into the fire of hell, because you can't punish twice for the same crime. It's already been paid for. I shall be taken by God's angels into heaven. Then, if you've reasoned those things, you must reason, if, big if, he gave Christ, that's his greatest gift, to pay for my sins, then surely he will give me, Romans 8:32, whatever else I need and want that is good and cry unto him for. Further, if all that is true, then you may reason out what Paul wrote in the next verse. Here's what it says. Well, by the way, you can reason out, I'm the elect of God. You say, how do I know I'm the elect of God? I wasn't there when God and the Father got together with God's Son. Because you've come to Christ. Listen, he says it in John's Gospel. He says, all the Father giveth me shall what? Come to me. All the Father giveth me is election. God gave a people to Jesus to purchase their salvation. And he gave a specific people. Jesus did it. He said, all the Father giveth me shall do what? Shall come to me. So if you come to Jesus, you are elect. He that cometh to me, I will what? In no wise cast out. You reason that out, and you come to that, you say, well, I know, therefore I'm the elect of God. Then I could go to Romans 8:33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. You say, Pastor, what makes you strong? That makes me strong. What makes you be a soul winner? That makes me a soul winner. See, a lot of people say that doctrine, that just makes for no soul winning and all that. Well, not true with me. It's my strength. And it should be your strength. So you don't fold up, like I said about Jim Comey, like a cheap chair. And he's going to fold up. Amen. He needs to get saved. You need to pray for these people to get saved. You have come to Christ because of what it says in Acts 13:48. One of the men, get that and get ready to read it. Raise your hand when you got it. You have come to Christ because it says that in Acts 13:48. And by the way, anybody that you witness to that comes to Christ, it is a fulfillment of, you need a pad under you, Acts 16:38, a fulfillment of Acts 16:38. Now, one of the men get that ready to read it in the King James, but oh, you got it in the NIV. Okay, no, I'm just kidding. I'm teasing him. Go ahead and read it.
Acts 13:48, right?
Yeah.
Okay. It says, and when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed.
And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Acts 13:48. What a blessing that is to know that your labor is not going to be in vain in the Lord. And so keep going. And also, if you choose to come to Christ, it was his idea to justify you when you were helpless in your sin and in your condemnation to hell. And the fact that you want to come to Christ, that you desire the water of life, that's God implanted. Don't you get it? You wouldn't have that if it wasn't for God. So listen to these declarations and get some assurance of faith in your life. Stop doubting and getting saved every week again and again and again. Salvation didn't start with you, and it's not going to end with you. I'm saying, what a blessing. If he helped you by his choosing you, listen to me. If he helped you by his choosing you when you were his enemy, you may now reason, then how much more that I've come to Christ, am I therefore justified, and will he now help me now that I'm his? You say, but I don't feel it. You don't have to feel it. God is there when you don't feel it. He loves it when you believe him. And then because you are unwilling to trust anyone or anything except Christ. I say to people, I don't know if I believed. I don't know if I've ever believed on Christ as my Savior. I said, well, let's test that right now. Are you willing right now to trust anyone or anything else other than Jesus Christ to save you? And if they're a true believer, they'll say, nope, no, I'm not. I'm not willing. Well, then thank God for that. That shows you have faith. And the Bible says that he will never cast you away. So if he helped you by all of these things, then because of your faith that he gave you, you may also reason about yourself with these inspired words in Romans 8:34. It says, who is he that condemneth? I don't care who it is. It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also make intercession for it. Anybody that condemns you and damns you, God, you know how they curse you, God, D-A, and they curse you, they can't do that. Do they have holes in their hands? No. There's nobody else. But Christ has the holes in his hands and his side and his feet, and he could have condemned you. The Bible says God the Father committed all judgment to him, and he could have condemned you. But no, he drew you to accept him, and therefore he died for you and paid for your eternal salvation. And he didn't stay there. He came alive again. If he just died, that wouldn't be enough. He's alive. Hey, he's alive tonight. Hey, we're not having a funeral tonight. We don't have a Catholic cross up there with a dead Jesus on it. We've got a living Savior. Hey, we can say that. I don't just say that at Easter. I say that any old time. He's alive. And so we celebrate that he's not just alive, just to be alive. He is praying for you. You say, I'm tired tonight. The pew is hard. Why doesn't Brother Joe put some pads on the pew? I don't know. He'll probably get to it. But Jesus is alive. And he's praying for you. And he's saying, I see you hurting on those pews. But you're here tonight. And guess what? I've got cushy clouds for you to ride on in heaven. You think those hammocks are nice that the worldly people have with their Miller Life and they're putting their feet up in a hammock and just drinking. It sounds pretty good, doesn't it, Jesse? And they're just relaxing on a hammock. Think about you on the clouds, just relaxing. That's God's plan. That's God's retirement plan. I kind of like God's retirement plan. So I'm going to re-enlist. Amen. And so I'm just saying, the hymn writer put it this way, when we talk about God's declarations for his helping you. He said, what more can he say than to you he hath said, to you who for refuge to Jesus have fled. What more can he say to you? That should be enough. So, number one, God's promise to help you. We just looked at his declaration of it in verses 7 through 9 or 8 and 9. Number two, his description of your need of it. I'll be brief on this one. His description of your need of it. And that's in Isaiah 50, 10a. Here's what God says. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Here's a person that fears the Lord. That simply means you have a relationship with the capital L-O-R-D, the God of the Bible, through faith. You obey his servant. That means you believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. His servant here is Jesus Christ. Who is that? And he says, you walk in darkness and you have no light. I believe there are some people, they're saved and all their life they don't have the light. They walk in darkness their whole life. And they live and die that way. Charles Spurgeon put it this way. Joab, when he was going to be executed by Solomon, Joab did something that was pretty good. He went into the temple and he grabbed the altar where they offered the sacrifices, and they had horns on the altar, and he grabbed the horns of the altar. And what happened? Solomon sent Benaiah in and said, okay, he's on the altar, just kill him on the altar in the temple. And Benaiah went in there and killed Joab, the great general Joab, on the horns of the altar. But you know what? He kept holding on to the horns of the altar. If you walk in darkness, you have no light. Just hold on to that altar called Calvary, that he died there for sinners, and just keep trusting him, even though you're walking in darkness. And that's the description here of a person that walks in darkness. A person lacking the internal assurance of God's love. You say, can that person really be a Christian? They don't have the experiences of those that went through all of these things. I truly believe they're saved. I truly believe they're saved. They may not have that internal assurance that has all these other things and sense that and feel that, but they have that faith. They have that foundation. And God will never lie. And that is a description. Listen, it may be a description of you tonight. Maybe somebody here tonight. Now, I would like you to have more assurance. I would like you to have more joy and peace. But you keep on believing the bare word of God, because God will not lie. He keeps his word. Blessed are they, the Bible says, that have not seen and yet believed. You keep believing. You're walking in darkness. You have no light of assurance. And you find yourself in that situation. Now, there may be some of you, you've had assurances through your life, and you can look back upon assurances, but you're in darkness right now. And you're walking in darkness. Now, interesting, walking in darkness, what does that mean? You're in darkness, but you're still walking. You're still going forward. The Bible says, and I talked to a guy one time, he was in horrible darkness. He was in horrible depression. It was a horrible time. It was a physical depression. And I said, just keep walking. I said, you're in a tunnel, but you'll come through that tunnel. Just keep walking. Psalm 23, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. Thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The rod and staff were not to hit the sheep. The rod and staff were to hit the wolves, amen, to hit your enemies and to guide you through that valley of the shadow of death. Are you walking in darkness? Is that a description of you? Then this sermon is for you tonight. God is describing you, but he's saying you fear the Lord. He's saying you have no light of assurance, but you're still walking. He's saying that. Is that a description of you? Are you like that person? And then, last point, we're talking about God's help for you, his declaration of it, his description of it, and then his direction to you concerning it. And we're going to look at 10b and verse 11. So what does God's counsel give you when you are in those dark times in your life? Well, here's what God says, Isaiah 50, let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. What's the name of the Lord? It represents who he is. Who is God? He's not fickle. It's not, he loves me, he loves me not, he loves, you know, he's not fickle in his love. You know, women sometimes we say they love you one moment, they hate you the next, you know. A man should be more stable in his love. Amen? That should be. A man should be stable in his love. A woman more up and down. But God is the source of the love for a husband to love his wife. God doesn't change. The Bible says Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know, at one time you may have been in the light and you rejoiced in the light. Well, guess what? God has not changed. Hey, we were out today and it didn't rain, but it wasn't exactly beautiful. It wasn't. It was cloudy. It was cool. It was not beautiful. But hey, behind those clouds, we're having sunny days. Amen. We're having sunshine. God has not changed. When you're going through your darkest time at night, you may go through night terrors. You may go through darkness. God has not changed. God is still there. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. You know, I think of God anointing Trump to be president. God raised him up to help America. He was impeached continually. They're still trying to impeach him. Now they just say that green guy that's trying to impeach him, he's nuts. And he's been attacked continually. He's been stolen from, trying to take his money and trying to put him in jail, indict him and arrest him and call him a felon and all the rest of it. But guess what? They try to kill him. But guess what? God has held him, upheld him. Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Moses put it this way, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Titus 1 says, God who cannot lie promised us eternal life. You may be in darkness. Trust God, his person. Trust the word of God, even if you're walking in darkness. God cannot lie. That's the counsel here that we need to have. And God will indeed come through. I remember Joe Slobodnik. He went through his MRI and he had a CAT scan. And I said, how do you feel coming through all this? And he had some damage from a bioweapon, I think, launched by the globalists. Joe said, I've got peace. He had peace because he prayed. God gave him the right doctor. God raised him up. And he gave him a friend that helped him and gave him some guidance and counsel. And Brother Joe kept going forward. Some of you are facing some dark days. Or you will be. Physical pain, problems in your life, you're facing. You may be facing financial challenges right now. People problems in your life. You're having struggles with people in your life. But make sure you don't do what it says in Isaiah 50 verse 11. I'll read it to you. It says there, behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourself about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire, and in the sparks that ye have kindled, this shall ye have of mine hand, ye shall lie down in sorrow. That's talking about following counsel that's not what you're hearing tonight. Following counsel that's not going to help you spiritually. Following counsel that's contrary to the pastoral preaching and teaching of the Word of God. It's only going to lead you to sorrow. Get away from that kind of counsel. Get away from that kind of preaching. I like the old Puritan preachers. They knew how to minister to people in darkness. They knew how to minister to God's chosen people who were having a hard time of it. There was one of them, they called him Dr. Malefilus, which meant the comforter. He was comforting. God wants us to do that. Some people say, Pastor, you preach hard. Yeah, I do preach hard, but I also preach the comfort because both are needed, you see? Both are needed. People are having hard times. They're having struggles. And I want you to know God loves you. I want you to know God doesn't cast you off because you're having struggles or you're having doubts or you're having troubles in your life and weakness in your life. He doesn't do that. I think of Bob Bajeski in January 6th. And Bobby was there. And I'm not afraid to say it. I know he's not afraid to say it. Bobby was in the Capitol on January 6th. He was in the Capitol. He was the one in our group for sure that was in it. Now, there were some others that were in it, and they got arrested. They went to jail. And they served time. Even old ladies, grandmas, they arrested them. Not Bobby. Not Bobby. God spared him. Now, let me say this. When the Great Tribulation comes, I believe that some people will not die in the Great Tribulation by the beast and the Antichrist. You say, why not? Because God has chosen to protect them. Some people will die for their faith and that God will give them grace to do it. But some God will protect and they'll live until Christ returns. Bob's an example of that with what I'm talking about here. God has spared him and protected him and brought him through. You know, it's either fight, flight, or faith. Remember, Jesse, when people were talking about taking up arms and fighting to get Trump in and all that, and I said, no, don't do it, Jesse. I said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And this morning I said, God's going to do wonders. We have a wonderful God tonight. You could be encouraged tonight in your God and what He has done. Don't run away from your challenges because they're too much for you, like Jonah. Don't say, I can't do it. No, just take it one step at a time, one day at a time. I tell my mother every day, Mom, I'll say it again, a coward dies a thousand deaths, but a brave man dies but once. I tell my mother, take it a step at a time, one day at a time. And when you wake up in glory, everything will be good. Amen. Everything will be a blessing. And Dorothy, I know how it feels to adjust that. She's adjusting that thing because her back is sore. God knows your every pain. And He knows how to help you. Let's bow for prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed tonight. We've been talking about God.